Areena.
This week we hear from some frustrated customers of Finland's national airline Finnair.
It cannot be that you get a message in the middle of the night from an unknown number, which you cannot even call.
We examine the results of the consumer index that placed Finnair last among European airlines.
Then there's the time frame, and this is where Finnair does particularly bad.
And we ask Finnair themselves what lessons they have learned from the unprecedented amount of customer feedback they have received this year.
To be able to automate even more to get the answers to the customers quicker. So that's definitely one learning.
This is a security announcement. Please do not leave your
Hello and welcome back to All Points North. I'm Ronan Brown, and as you can probably guess, I'm at an airport, or I'm at Helsinki Airport to be more exact. And I'm here because it has been a year of severe turbulence for Finland's national airline Finnair, with industrial disputes, pilot strikes, thousands of flight cancellations, and an avalanche of customer complaints. Finnair, in fact, cancelled a total of 2,000 flights during the first half of this year, affecting an estimated 200,000 passengers. And during this past summer, a consumer index placed Finnair last in a ranking of European airlines. Now, this particular index was compiled by Flightright, a company that assists consumers with compensation claims. Finnair got the worst score among the 20 European airlines in the poll, and it did particularly badly in the rankings on reliability and consumer satisfaction. So now, because I'm here at the airport, I decided to ask some passengers what they think of the finding that Finnair, which of course was once a source of such national pride for Finns, that is now apparently the worst airline in Europe.
I'm quite surprised
at that. Yeah.
I mean, we've only had one flight with Finnair to get here from England, and we didn't find there was any problems with the flight or with the staff. We checked in easy. The flight itself was normal. And then the only thing that was different was the blueberry juice that they served on the flight.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
And I quite liked it.
I'm really surprised that Finnair is the worst company in Europe, for
that,
sure. Yeah. We flew a lot of companies that were pretty much the worst, yes.
Yeah.
Ask the question at the end of the flight, and hopefully we will not change our decision.
I think Finnair has a quite good reputation, in my own opinion. And like, there's other airlines who's worse than Finnair, I think. Like, for example, this airline, yeah. But yeah, I think Finnair has, they give good quality of services, so.
Okay, so I'm back in the studio now, and those few snippets you just heard summed up a lot of people's feelings about the results of that consumer index, a feeling of surprise. But should it actually be such a surprise? Because Finnair has indeed faced a very tough few years. First, there was the COVID pandemic, which grounded flights across the globe. And just as we were coming out of that, Russia invaded Ukraine, leading to international condemnation, sanctions, and most crucially for Finnair, the closing of Russian airspace to Western airlines. Now, this hit Finnair especially hard because Finnair had strategically positioned itself as the airline that could connect Europe, North America and Asia, with Helsinki, of course, as the hub between the three continents. But when Russian airspace closed, Finnair's flights to and from Asia have had to go on much longer detours. And if all of that wasn't enough, this past year has seen strikes by pilots as well as by ground staff at Helsinki Airport, which have led to months of work stoppages, of cancelled flights, and of very unhappy customers. Finland's Consumer Advisory Service actually said in June that it has received an unprecedented number of complaints this year in relation to Finnair, And we here at All Points North have also been contacted quite a few times as well. So people have told us about Finnair cancelling flights with very little notice, or rerouting passengers on connections that seem to take a lot longer than the original flight. Or we've also heard that compensation claims can take months to be processed. But the most common complaint about Finnair that we heard about over this past summer was that contacting their customer service department was an almost impossible task. This especially affected people who were told they had to contact customer service in order to change their flight, a flight which Finnair had itself cancelled. So here's Samuel Kruger, a long-time Finnair customer, who shares an experience that we heard all too often from other people.
This is frustrating. You cannot call anyone. You cannot call anywhere. You don't have an email like, let's say, rebooking at finnair.com or something like that. There is nothing. When you have such an email, you know that it's going somewhere. But if you have a website with the form there, where you just put in your frustration, it goes somewhere and you don't even know whether someone is reading it. I think it should be obvious that these people, no matter in which level they are, in which tier they are, they should have a number and an email to contact in case of such disruptions like strikes and so on. Yeah. It cannot be that you get a message in the middle of the night from an unknown number, which you cannot even call, and then you search after your solution. Hello?
What would you like to see Finnair doing to address some of these problems that have, or challenges that have arisen this year? What do you think the company should be doing?
I think to bring back a little bit of the service which they had in the past and which many people praised so much. You know, Finnair was a top company, top airliner. And like Lufthansa, they are bringing back now some service, onboard service again on certain lines, because they saw we are losing passengers to companies like Ryanair or to, because if you don't serve, you can also pay a little bit only and get to the destination. But it's not so much about get to the destination, but it's also a little bit service. People, especially private people, they save the whole year, and once in a year, or for some people once in a lifetime, they make a long journey and pay a lot of money and don't get anything on board, you know, and that's just frustration.
And that was Samuel Kruger there on his experience of flying or not flying with Finnair this past summer. And as I said, we heard the same experiences from other people too, and I think it's a pretty reasonable conclusion to come to that these frustrations played a part in Finnair being voted the worst airline in Europe in that consumer survey by Flightright. But to put all of this into some kind of context, I spoke to Dylan Shah. He's a journalist with Simple Flying, which is one of the largest aviation news sites in the world. And I first asked him what we can deduce from the results of the Flightright survey.
Well, I think for that, we need to look at the methodology of the study. So I can identify maybe three areas where there might be explanations for this ranking. So the first is in the sample size itself. There are about 200 scheduled passenger airlines in Europe. Now, many of them may only have one plane, or may not be your regular normal airline like Finnair, or, you know, another national airline like Austrian Airlines, that sort of thing, right? So a sample size of 20 is quite small. And that's not completely unusual. You need a smaller sample size. You can't, you know, rank every airline in the world. You know, it's tough. But the choice of that sample size is important. What metric did Flightright use to evaluate this sample of 20? And they said that it was an evaluation of the 20 largest airlines. But my concern is this: Finnair does not fit in the top 20 largest European airlines. It is not in the top 20 by fleet size. It's not in the top 20 by flights operated, by average daily flights, passengers carried. So for me, it's a little bit difficult to understand how FlightRight came to this sample site.
Okay.
And in addition to that, some key airlines have missed out. Italy's flag carrier, ITA Airways, has more planes than Finnair and flies more passengers, but wasn't included in the ranking. So there's these sorts of questions that you have to ask about the sample itself.
Yeah.
Then there's the time frame. And this is where Finnair does particularly bad. The time frame was judging the airlines of the first 6 months of 2025 to then say, oh, these are the best or worst airlines in 2025.
Mm.
Now, although that's a short period, and you know, you can argue whether that's enough or not, but the fact is Finnair had a really tough, a very challenging first half of 2025.
For sure.
Finns must be acutely aware of the cancellations that Finnair faced, the disruption over the course of that period.
Okay, I just want to jump in here and give a little bit of background. As Dylan mentions there, Finns, and indeed people living in Finland, will be very aware of the flight cancellations and the chaos that has dogged Finnair throughout the first 6 months of this year. The cancellations themselves were as a result of action by the Finnish Aviation Union, which represents ground staff at Helsinki Airport. And those talks between the union and the employer group went on for about 6 months until an agreement was finally reached in June. So all of this was going on while FlightRight was conducting its survey. And that survey assessed each airline's performance on three key metrics: reliability, payment behaviour and customer satisfaction. Here's Dylan again on how Finnair ranked in each of the three categories.
So on reliability, completely fair enough that Finnair didn't do very well.
Yep.
It was not reliable in the first half. It had the highest cancellation rate as a total of flights during the first half of the year due to this industrial action that it faced, not only with its pilots, but also the ground handling in Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
So Finnair really faced the impact. And that's even though there were other airlines that had, in absolute terms, more cancellations, but as a percentage of their flights, it was much lower.
Yeah.
And then payment behavior. So this metric is interesting because it's the speed at which airlines pay FlightRight. So even if you were to submit a claim to Finnair on your own as an individual, this is not counted because it's only through FlightRight that it will be counted in this metric. So we need to know how many people were actually involved in using FlightRight to claim compensation or other whether that be financial or other. And that brings me to the last part, which is customer satisfaction. FlightRight sent out a survey to their own customers to see what they thought of these 20 airlines that they had on offer. And all of these questions were related to things like compensation, and sort of trying to get your money back after disruption. And I've looked at it, and just based on the amount of people use FlightRight and then also how many passengers Finnair flies per year, it's possible that this only represented about 1% of Finnair passengers.
Right.
So is it a fair ranking? You can say it's fair in terms of compensation. To an extent, it's saying that, well, Finnair faced disruption, so it ranks lower. But is that fair overall, given that this was a one-time thing on Finnair's end? That's another question.
And that was Dylan Shah there of the Simple Flying News website. So, of course, all of this raises the question of what Finnair have to say for themselves. And so to find that out, I also spoke this week with Joona Vermila-Alajaski, who is head of Finnair's End-to-End Disruption Management Unit. Now, she has previously described the amount of contacts to the company's customer service department this year as an avalanche, saying it was 7 times the average and that has contributed to the challenges for Finnair this year. Here's Joona Vermila-Alajaski.
Of course, first, what I want to say to apologize from our customers that they have faced these disruptions so much. And then about the contact centers, when we are canceling several flights, so there has been queues, but also we have opening hours 24/7. So not all the time the contact center has been congested. So we have also more resources in the contact centers. So we have been able also to serve our customers well. And those customers who have get through to our contact centers, they have been actually very happy because we have been able to help them. We have been very flexible to find the solutions for the customers. And then what comes to the claim and refund handling, of course, the amounts have been exceptional, as discussed before. Mm. So those queues have been long, but we have also automated a lot these areas. So some of the customers have received answers within 1 hour to the claims at the moment. So there has been also these kind of situations.
Okay. When you say more resources, what further resources have more customer service staff been hired, or what's happened?
Yes. This airline business is quite complicated. So there are several teams which are handling these things. So first we have, of course, the contact centers who are serving our customers. And then we have a lot of back office teams who are handling the claims and refunds. So we have hired more people for all the teams to support this situation.
Okay. So as we said at the start, it's been quite an exceptional year for Finnair, but what would you say, what kind of lessons has the airline learned over the past few months, or what might you have done differently with faced with the same situation again?
Well, I think learnings about this one is, of course, to be able to automate even more to get the answers to the customers quicker. So that's definitely one learning. And then, of course, the scalability of the resources is one learning, so that we can serve our customers even better. So those definitely are the learnings.
And that was Joona Vermila-Alajaski of Finnair. Now, people who are dissatisfied with how Finnair has dealt with their claim can, of course, take their case to other agencies. In Finland, for example, there is the Finnish Competition and Consumer Authority, acronymed as KKV in Finnish, which includes divisions such as the Consumer Advisory Services and the Consumer Ombudsman. Now, I mentioned earlier that the authority said it has received an unprecedented number of calls about Finnair this year, and this was confirmed to me by Tuuli Forsten, a senior specialist at the Advisory Services Unit. I also asked Tuuli if it was reasonable for people to have to wait months for their compensation claim to be processed by Finnair.
It was too long. I think that everyone can agree. I think that everyone agrees that it was a too long time. It has been months. It depends on what kind of a situation you have. If you are just demanding like fixed compensation for a cancelled flight, these simple cases come out more quickly. But if you have a more complex situation in which you have like hotel bills and taxi costs and stuff like that, many things have happened and you have suffered expenses and a situation like that. You have receipts and a long story in your complaint. This sort of a thing, it takes a longer time. And sometimes Finnair needs to contact other airlines and stuff like that. And when the handling is altogether quite jammed, these things take even longer time to be resolved.
Yeah. So would your advice to passengers just to be more patient, or is there something else they can do?
Unfortunately, this is the word, patience. This situation has required patience, and it still does. This situation is now easing up because the strike situation is over, but it takes time. The amount of pending complaints is so huge that it takes time.
Okay. And what does your authority offer to passengers or to consumers who feel like they have a justified complaint? What can you do?
We can't hurry up the airline. That's a problem. That's where we need the patience. And it's rather irritating that this just is the situation. But after one has received the response from the airline, if there's something that you don't quite understand, that did this go right, you can contact us and we can look through the answer together.
Okay. Last question. Is it reasonable then for airlines to take so long to process these complaints, like weeks at a time? Is it okay, or do they need to
improve? It's a hard job to tell what's reasonable. Mm. It's a really hard thing to analyze, but I think that we have got used to it that it takes about a month, and I think it's quite okay. It's been like this for years and years, but if it takes many months, that's unreasonable.
And that was Tuuli Forsten there of the Finnish Competition and Consumer Authority. Tuuli actually also told me that the authority advises people to get things in writing as much as possible if they happen to be in a dispute with a company over a product or service. Many people, of course, call the company to resolve an issue, but she said it's important to also send an email. This way you have a record of what you said and when, and also how and when the company responded. It's also worth knowing that if you are unhappy with how a company has dealt with your case or your complaint, you can take it to Finland's Consumer Disputes Board. But before we move on, I will give the last word on this topic to Dylan Shah of Simple Flying, because I was also interested to know if the turbulence of the last few months were likely to have caused long-term damage to Finnair's reputation. Here's what Dylan had to say.
If I tell you how it looks from an international perspective, I would say this hasn't hurt Finnair as much as it might seem domestically. Finnair's onboard product is very good. I've not heard people complain about it to a significant extent. They recently underwent a lot of, you know, cabin retrofits over the course of the last few years on its modern fleet of aircraft. So despite the Flightright ranking, or considering the Flightright ranking, it's also worth considering that StarTrax, another firm, had ranked Finnair 25th in the world.
Yeah.
And that's not just in Europe, that's in the world, right? So that speaks to something, right? Finnair still has a certain quality on the global scene. And despite the heavy disruption that it faced and its inability, therefore, to deal with that disruption, it's still top-notch on the world scale. And in Europe, that makes it one of the best based on Skytrax ranking.
Now, one very last thing before we round up the rest of the week's news. If you want to let us know what you think of Finnair, or if you have a story or a topic you would like to hear us cover on All Points North, please send us an email to allpointsnorth@wiley.fi. You can also send us a message, or preferably a voice note, via WhatsApp to +358 44 421 0909. And now for a quick roundup of what else has been making the headlines in Finland this past week. And we start with the news that the Finnish Air Force plans to remove the swastika symbol from the flags of its units. The Air Force's use of the symbol has raised eyebrows for years, but it has its roots in the formation of the force in 1918, long before the German Nazi Party adopted it in the 1930s. And staying with the military, Finland's defense forces said this week that they could start using anti-personnel mines as early as January of next year. Finland withdrew from the Ottawa Anti-Personnel Landmines Convention earlier this year, as heightened security concerns led the Finnish government to reconsider its position. In employment news, a survey of foreign tech workers in Finland published this week has revealed that less than half now plan to stay in the country permanently. The respondents cited Finland's rising unemployment rate, tighter immigration rules, and the weak Finnish economy as reasons why they were planning to leave. And staying with the jobs market, some employers in Finland have stopped openly advertising their vacancies due to the hundreds of applications they receive for each position. The Ministry of Economic Affairs and Employment said that employers now advertise less than half of all job openings publicly, which has seen the number of open positions plummet to the lowest level in a decade. And an exceptional criminal trial began at Helsinki District Court this week. The captain of the Eagle S oil tanker, as well as the ship's first and second officers, are accused of aggravated sabotage as well as other offences in relation to an incident in the Baltic Sea on Christmas Day last year, when the anchor of their vessel severed five undersea cables that lay between Finland and Estonia. The trial is expected to last several weeks. And finally, authorities in Oulu thought they were dealing with a serial pooper at a swimming pool in the city. The facility filed a criminal complaint with police because of repeated defecation in the water, but a spokesperson for the pool said they now believe no such serial pooper exists. Okay, so that's it for another episode of All Points North. But if you're looking for something to watch this weekend as the autumn weather closes in, I can recommend Northern Lights, which is available to stream on Ule Arena. The comedy drama series is set in Ireland, so of course it has to be very good, and it tells the story of two grieving strangers who bond over a shared dream of one day seeing the Northern Lights. Okay, but that really is all we have time for today. Thanks to our audio engineer, Matthias Pumala, for putting the show together, and to you for listening to and supporting All Points North. We will be back again next week. Bye for now.